Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, beef buzzing with you today with Ethan Lane, talking about working with USDA on sustainability in just a moment.
I have with me Cody Jorgensen, Jorgensen Land and Cattle. We are excited, Cody. It's the 50th anniversary production sale. It's a big day on April 11th, isn't it?
It is, Scott. I appreciate it. We're excited about having the 50th anniversary sale.
So what can you tell us about this year's sale?
It's a really unique set of bulls that we have to offer. There's five different multi-generational sire lines, starting out with the Eldorados, and then we've got the Ritos, of course, the Travelers, and the Emulations.
Consistency is kind of the word, isn't it?
It is. That's true. Consistency. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, these cattle are extremely line bred. We're really trying to get consistent calves on our customers' ranches.
Folks, it's coming up on Monday, April 11th. It's just about here. It's at the farm and ideal. There's 175 registered Angus bulls. You can call them at 1-800-548-BULL or go to JorgensenFarms.com. That's 1 o'clock on Monday, April 11th.
Ethan Lane, Vice President, Government Policy for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says when you work with governmental entities like USDA on things like sustainability, you got to have some ground rules. You got to have a focal point that you try to keep them focused on. And Ethan says when you start talking about sustainability, that's all about being incentive-based and voluntary.
And that's where we are. This can't be a mandate. This can't be a government restriction on how cattle are produced. It needs to start as a recognition of what a good job our producers are already doing. And that's what we're hearing from USDA right now. Now, whenever you get the federal government involved in things like this, it has a tendency to go the other direction. And we want to be really, really mindful of that as we move through this process. But, you know, we have a good story to tell. That climate neutrality by 2040 goal is an imminently achievable one, just based on the momentum of our producers already doing the good work that they're doing. So leaning into that, looking for more opportunities with USDA to incentivize that voluntary conservation benefit is going to continue to be our focus. But, you know, it's been interesting in the last month or so with the ongoing situation in Ukraine and elsewhere. Sustainability is very important. But you know what else we're starting to hear more and more about is food security. And, you know, when we start to look at input costs and the shortfall in things like fertilizer, lack of access to potash and things like that coming out of the Eastern European areas that are in the middle of this war right now, it's a good chance for everyone to kind of reassess their priorities as well. We were over in the UK last week talking trade with the Brits, and that was something that came up over and over and over again. Sustainability is important, but so is making sure we have a steady supply of high quality protein to meet everybody's nutrition needs around the world, especially in these kind of uncertain times. We're always going to have to balance those things and make sure that we're telling the cattle industry story and advocating for what we need to continue feeding the world and doing it in a really sustainable manner.
That brings me to the concept of all these supply chain issues and the cost of fertilizer and the cost of, you know, a feed for that matter, because of all the uncertainty with the Russia-Ukraine war. How do you get your arms around that when it comes to dealing with the Washington bureaucracy and with members of Congress, too?
You know, I think everyone has gotten a really important lesson in global supply chains in the last 6 weeks. If we hadn't already had one in the last 2 years, there's a lot of people who have been newly educated on just how much is being produced in places like the Ukraine. You know, trying to figure out as this starts to stabilize a little, you know, this current situation, the intensity of this conflict likely won't last forever. We'll get to some kind of a stasis point. The supply chains will adjust. And it'll be important at that point to figure out where those shortfalls are and what we need to do to get back to some kind of a normal operating environment. But, you know, and former Chairman Lucas this morning, who I value his opinion about as much as anybody up in Washington on these issues, made the point that all indications are that we're in for a wild ride in the next 18 months or so. This is a pretty difficult environment. And you know, the saving grace is that we are, you know, we are seeing indications still that we're going to see that upswing in prices for producers. But boy, it takes a little bit of the fun out of that time being on the high side of the market if your input costs are dragging down your profit. So we're going to have to really continue to pay attention to that. We're going to have to work with USDA. We're going to have to make sure that we're taking advantage of any tools that may be available, looking for new ones, and really paying attention to these supply chains, because it's going to continue to be a really difficult operating environment for our producers at a time when we should be capitalizing on profits. And so we're going to have to really keep an eye on that and stay engaged on that moving forward.
Finally, Ethan, midterm elections, the president apparently may be in trouble. A lot of indications are GOP may grab some majorities, at least in the House, maybe in the Senate as well. What are you telling producers as they talk politics?
You know, the mathematician in me says that we're pretty much inevitably going to be in a Republican-controlled House of Representatives after the fall elections. Five seats is not a big total to make up in an area where, you know, you have a wildly unpopular president and a Democratic Party that's really kind of flailing and failing to connect with voters. You know, as is always the case, though, the responsibility then falls to the Republican Party to not screw it up. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch how that plays out over the summer. I think you have leadership in place in the GOP that's really sober about where they need to go and how to hit those marks to connect with voters. I think you have moderate Democrats who have done really good work and are really on the outs with their party because of it, because you've got that extreme left wing in the Democratic Party. You're going to have some really solid members of Congress that have had this industry's back with a D next to their name that are fighting for their lives in this election cycle. So it is going to be really interesting to see how big a number the Republicans can put up and what that means for you know, committee structures and priorities moving into the next Congress. I mean, we're not going to see a whole lot more get done this Congress. They funded the government through September. You know, you're hearing from the Hill that they just aren't going to have the bandwidth to really do a whole lot more of substance. So we're going to quickly see all eyes turn to that election in November and what lies beyond it. But if the numbers are looking like they could be, you know, in that 20, 30, 40 seat swing range, boy, it's going to have a major impact on the way things run up on Capitol Hill in the next Congress.
NCBA's Ethan Lane. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
It's the 4th annual Southwest Ranchers Bull and Heifer Sale, Saturday, April 9th, 12:30 at the Wheeler Farm Sale Facility in Chickasha, Oklahoma. The sale features 139 head, including 119 Hereford, Angus, and Red Angus bulls with 20 Hereford, Angus, and Red Angus females. Catalogs and videos available at www.mcsauction.com or call Matt Sims at 405-641-6081. That's 405-641-6081.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.